Good to have you with us this morning. As was mentioned earlier, we have a special occasion today. Our elders are going to speak to us in just a little bit. That means that my part of the service is very brief this morning. I would like to direct your thoughts to some scriptural things we need to keep in mind. Numbers chapter 25 in the Old Testament is the story that I'd like you to think about. Numbers chapter 25. And this chapter tells us that even as the people of Israel were camped on the plains of Moab within sight of the promised land that God was leading them to, they stumbled badly in their walk with God. Specifically, Numbers 25, beginning in verse 1, tells how the people of Moab enticed Israel into idolatry and sexual immorality. Many commentators describe this as a pagan fertility cult. Specifically, the text talks about the people begin to play harlot with the daughters of Moab. Is there any doubt that God was angry? God said to Moses in verse 4, "Take the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel." Those who were guilty were so punished. And furthermore, God sent among the Israelites a terrible plague because of their wickedness. And incredibly, in the midst of all that sin and all that judgment from God, verse 6 says that one of the tribal leaders of Israel had the gall to bring a pagan woman right into Israel's camp and right into his tent. Verse 7 says, "When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the high priest, saw it, he arose from the midst of the congregation and took a spear in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through the body. So the plague on the sons of Israel was checked." That's not a pretty picture, is it? What stands out to me about Phinehas, Aaron's grandson on this occasion, is not just that he saw the problem or that he was disturbed by what was happening. The nature of this calamity was obvious. And many people, according to verse 6, were weeping over it, even at the doorway of the tent of meeting. People were bothered by what was going on. People were dying because of what was going on. But Phinehas was not content to stand there and weep. He did something. And what he did made all the difference. And so I say, may God send us more men and women like Phinehas. I don't mean people who are looking to run somebody through with a spear. Please don't go away thinking I said something like that. But I mean disciples of Christ who, when they see an opportunity, a problem, a need, will take initiative to do something about it. People who, instead of just complaining about what is lacking, will do their part to make things better. That's what Phinehas did. That is the example he set for us. I want a faith like that of Phinehas. I want to see every brother and sister of mine have a faith like Phinehas. Instead of complaining, we don't do enough to reach the lost, a Phinehas will make a personal effort to try to talk to somebody, a friend, a neighbor, a relative, a co-worker, about the Lord. Instead of grumbling that the church needs to be friendlier, a Phinehas will make sure that he or she offers a warm greeting to visitors at our assemblies, and regulars too. Will open his home and his spirit in hospitality. Will work to build and strengthen bonds of love. He will follow the instruction of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9 to be hospitable to one another without complaint. Instead of fretting that somebody ought to help that person who has a need, a Phinehas will clean somebody's house or mow somebody's lawn or run an errand or cook a meal or do something else for someone who is sick or disabled or elderly or just in need in some other way. and will fulfill the commandment of Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, contributing to the needs of the saints. The instruction of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Instead of just complaining that our worship services are not uplifting enough, a Phineas will pour his or her heart and soul into praising God and edifying others. Just as Paul instructs us in Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. Instead of grousing about Christians who are not dedicated enough, Phineas will relentlessly pursue holiness in his own life and show others how it's done. He will follow the instruction that Paul gave to the young evangelist Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, when he said, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. He will pursue the holiness without which, Hebrews 12, verse 14 says, no one will see the Lord. Instead of worrying that, you know, that brother or sister is out of line and somebody needs to say something to them, Phineas will say something. When their brother or sister is walking in a disorderly way, or they're just discouraged or weak or struggling, Phineas will do what Paul tells us to do in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. He will admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, uphold the weak. He will be patient with all in doing so. I know that no one can do everything, but everyone can do something in this congregation and in every group of saints of God's people. Look around you. You see needs to be met? You won't have to look very far. You see tasks that could be done? You won't have to look far. Do you see people who can be helped? Souls that need to be nourished? There are two things we can do about that. Actually, three. We can just take an attitude of complete apathy. God forbid that we do that. We can wring our hands in distress over it, or we can keep the spirit of Phineas alive, imitate his faith, and do what we can to make a difference. I guarantee that by doing so, we will inspire and motivate others to do what they can to make a difference. Look at the difference it made in Numbers 25 when one man, instead of just standing there, did something. What can you do, my brother, my sister? We look upon a new year today. We're going to be talking just a little bit in a few moments about the coming year that we face as a congregation. What can you do to make the most of that opportunity and to be of the greatest blessing to those who are around you? That's a challenge I offer to those of us who are God's people. But I go back to Numbers chapter 25 as we conclude, because there is something else here that is just as important, and that is God's disgust with sin. These people who had been granted so many blessings and opportunities by God and were literally on the doorstep of the promised land turned their backs on Him in this act of disobedience. And so is every one of us. In spite of the many ways in which God has blessed our lives, we have sinned against Him. Those of us who are Christians are simply people who have acknowledged that and sought humbly God's grace and forgiveness for that, and are seeking every day to draw closer to Him in our walk. And what we would like to do as we bring this portion of our service to a close is to invite you to do that. If you're not a Christian, realize that the plague of sin is alive and well in this world, and its effects are just as destructive in your life as they were in the lives of those Israelites that day, that horrible day. But something can be done about it, because Jesus shed His blood on our behalf. That's been talked about a lot this morning, and it is so very important. that he died as an offering for sin. As Paul expressed it in 2 Corinthians 5, he became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. That is our invitation to you this morning. To be in Christ is to be reconciled to God. Are you? If you're not, then we hope we can encourage you to become his child this morning, to believe on him, to repent, to confess your faith, to be united with Christ in baptism. If we can help you in that, help you in beginning your walk with God, please make your way to the front as we stand and as we sing together.